What's up, everyone? You are tuned in to another episode of The Broke Come Up. What's up?
What's going on? What's going on? This is Marcus.
And I'm Marquise. And welcome back. It's been a while, but, you know, we're here.
Yes. Graciously.
And, right. Especially during this time. We're so happy to be here during this time, if anything. So how have you been?
Hey, man, I've been good, man. You know, quarantining like everybody, you know, hanging out when I can, you know, but for the most part, maintaining, you know, have some things that I've been getting around, wanting to get around to do. And I've been able to do that. And just, you know, feeling pretty positive, you know, coming out of this quarantine session. Looks like things are kind of opening up here down in the, you know, Atlanta, Georgia area,
the
Atlanta
ACL, Metro. We start stuff around
That's
here.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's what's up. Yeah. I've been okay myself. I've used this time really to reflect a lot and start a lot of projects and think,
yes, well,
some projects that I can kind of, maybe keep going for the long run and things. So I'm kind of happy with that and hoping to see this thing all the way through. But I think today should be a pretty interesting episode. So we've titled our episode The New Normal, because, you know, 2020 has brought on a host of new things, and I don't think we ever would have thought like this would have happened, right?
Man, tell me about it. And I think that we kind of opened the year, you know, I think a lot of people forget, you know, Kobe Bryant passed, you know what I'm saying, which was a major deal at the beginning of the year. I can go back to feeling like, man, that's a big blow.
Well, I think it was that, and like I remember just telling someone, I was like, man, it's rained so much. Like, we never had that much rain. It rained like all of January, all of February, and like most of March. And then like as soon as it was clearing up, then that's when they're like, oh, by the way, we need y'all to stay in the house for like a month.
And it was beautiful outside. You know what I'm saying? Sunshine.
Day Party Central.
Man,
Day Party
come on. Central. Come on. We out here playing, you know? Definitely.
And so, yeah. And I mean, I guess it's definitely taught us a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're going to start talking about today, is our new normal. Just the new normal on many different things. Education, relationships, jobs, all of those different things.
Right.
Before we get started, I want to ask you, what you drinking?
Yes, sir. Now, again, we know that it's not what you're drinking, it's what you're drinking. You know, you feel me? You definitely have to put that difference in there. So I'm drinking some wine over here. I'm on this Ménage à Trois. Hey.
Okay.
Don't hate me. You know, don't laugh at it. You know, whatever. It's a Cabernet. But it's the one that's been, I guess, put in the barrels, you know, in the whiskey barrels. So it kind of ups the alcoholic content.
Okay.
Got a little smoky taste to it. So, you know, it's good for me. What about you?
Well, you know, normally I like my tequila. And I like my tequila, but I changed it up a little bit today, because over the weekend, my frat brother came over and he was asking me what I had to drink. Okay. I didn't have anything to drink. And all I had was a little bit of bourbon. So I had some bourbon, put some bourbon in a glass and some Sprite.
Oh.
And it was really good. I was like, this is good. So I went and I bought me some bourbon. And so that's what I'm drinking right now. I'm drinking just some bourbon and Sprite. And it's real good. It's smooth. And so, you know, I like a good smooth drink. I'm not a big wine person, because, you know, wine makes me feel different, and I don't like feeling like that at all.
I hear what you're saying, you know, and I do the hard, I like Jack, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like a honey Jack, and a lot of times, you know, I've done like a honey Jack and sweet tea, with a little lemon in it, kind of like a hard iced tea or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But the hard liquor kind of hits me over the head.
Sometimes,
you know,
that's me. I can't do wine, sweets. Brown, white, green, red, yellow, blue, whatever you name it, I like it. Okay.
Hey, man, but see, the thing about this red wine, this Cabernet, it's not so sweet. It's not like a Moscato or Riesling. It has its tartness to it, but it's a little, I don't want to say vinegary, but it's a little different. It's not as sweet. And to me, the alcohol content of it is a little higher than like your Moscatos and your white wines. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. You know, I'm good with that. Mm. The wine is kind of smooth for me. So, you know, I can kind of like ease into, you know, having that nice, you know, inebriated feeling. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I'm the opposite. Yeah. I need some liquor. I need liquor. But I'm not an alcoholic.
Let him know.
Not an alcoholic. Right. All right. So before we get, let's talk about some current events or things that are happening. I was looking at Instagram and the Shade Room. You know, that's what I don't watch the news. I get all my news from the Shade Room.
Okay.
So they were talking about Tekashi 6ix9ine. Are you familiar with him? I'm not really either.
No, I read Google News and I see Snoop got something to say about him on snitch and stuff and that kind of thing. But you know, I just don't deal in all the drama like that. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like that's just kind of a drama thing with me. And I'm like, I'm good. But I have kind of heard of him.
I couldn't tell you a song that guy sings or nothing. I mean, I know how he looks, but I don't really know anything about the guy. I just know that he's been like, you know, he got released from prison for snitching and stuff like that. You know, like this whole like rampage of like outing people for like snitching and stuff like that. So that's what he's been doing. And like he even got now I know you heard of her, the Black Widow. I can't remember. It's like Selena something.
Okay.
She's like this. She's infamous for like sleeping around with like celebrities or whatever. But like she outs them, which I don't. That's dumb to me. Like, if you're a celebrity, why do you keep sleeping with this same chick that's like super messy and like record stuff and out you?
I mean, I not that I know her, but I feel like, you know, anything negative, you know, brings publicity. You know what I'm saying? People want to know about it. People want to read about it and that kind of thing. So I could surmise that, you know, people, celebrities that are getting with her, they're like, yeah, you know, I want to keep y'all looking at me. I want to make sure that y'all know that I'm here.
That's dumb as hell.
Hey, it's a whole new life. You know, I don't live that life, but I mean, I can understand why they do. You know what I mean? So, you know, I get it.
Yeah, that's right. Too much. I agree with you. I try not to keep up with a lot of the, like, I don't know any of the new artists or new rappers.
I don't either. You know, I think it's just, it takes a lot of mental space and a lot of energy to keep up with that stuff. And that's just like,
And all the mess that we have that comes along
Who wants to deal with all that and be with all that? I understand some people, that's your thing. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying for me, I got some other things that I got to get to and I need it.
And it's a lot of mess too, you know, for them to be so young. Like a lot of these people are like in their early 20s. I'm thinking like when we were in our early 20s, I don't remember having like a lot of mess in my life. The most I probably had to worry about was like, oh man, my cell phone bill.
Correct. Correct. I got something I have to pay for, you know, I got an exam that I need to study for, you know, something like that. You know, but I mean, you try to keep it stress free. We was partying, we was having a good time. I mean, I don't know.
Exactly. So yeah, that's just some of the stuff I saw going on in the news and everything. But yeah. So let's get started on like our new normal. So, you know, we're both in education.
Correct.
And what are your thoughts on like the new normal as it relates to like how education is now?
Ooh, well, that's a big question. You know what I'm saying? Because we then have to talk about what education was going into this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that we had a lot of things going on that were very antiquated when it comes to education. A lot of traditional stuff that we were still doing, you know, that may or may not have been working, you know. And then the thing about that is there's this shift now between a lot of the, what they call baby boomers, that older generation that has been in doing this thing 25, 30, 35, 40 years maybe. And they have an idea of what they want to do and they want to kind of stick with that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of that we had that going in. And I think maybe this pandemic thing has, you know, gotten a lot of them to say, okay, well, this is not something that I want to continue to do afterwards, because I know the landscape of education is going to be a lot different than what it had been. You know what I mean? So I guess, you know, to really look at it, I think we're looking at a space now where there's an opportunity for educators to do things differently. You know, a lot of innovation, you know, a lot of creativity, a lot of times that doesn't get to those higher level platforms of where people are looking at it and say, okay, well, this is something we want to do. Now they're getting the fame. Now I feel like there's an opportunity for people who have been doing these things for years and years and years to finally put their portfolios out there, to finally put themselves out there and say, okay, I have this innovative idea that I've been thinking about for forever, and I finally get to put it out there because now we're in this space of uncertainty. Right. We don't know what the hell is going to go on moving forward. We don't know if we're going to be in 5-day, you know, weeks. We're going to, maybe we have 3-day weeks and then 2 days, you know, working at home, online, or whatever. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. And in that, is because to me, that's a double-edged sword. You get to where, hey, this new generation, this new breath of fresh air, you know, as far as innovation and creativity, can now come in and start to get at the table, sit at the table with the people that make the decisions educationally to start to influence and impact some things in different ways that can, again, meet some of our diverse populations that maybe we haven't been able to meet in the past. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I hope it can, you know, because I never thought of it like quite like that. Because I guess I was thinking of it because I'm not necessarily like in education anymore.
Right.
But I was thinking of it more so from like, because I'm thinking about like right now, like they're going through hell trying to, you know, manage, you know, like how to like keep their child engaged, but make sure that the child is still learning. So then, you know, going into like the school year is pretty much over now, but, you know, going into the fall, this thing keeps going. How do you satisfy the parent to say that, okay, we're still going to keep your child learning, but you know, you got to stay home and you got to figure out what you're going to do with this child and also help us out too, because now you're almost forced to have parents are like forced to buy in now. Whereas, you know,
absolutely,
a lot of times, you know, if you work in like, you know, an inner city school, or, you know, any school, but like particularly inner city schools, low socioeconomic statuses.
Got you.
You know, you wouldn't have a lot of parent buy-in, but you know, now these parents, you kind of gotta have to have them buy in, because otherwise, if they don't buy in, nobody wants to have their 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 year old child sitting around the house doing nothing.
Absolutely.
You know, and you gotta still make money. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you? And that's another thing that I guess I'm more concerned about too, looking at it from that lens. How do we make sure that, you know, the education is actually like worth something now? Because it's just like, if all I'm doing is, you know, on Zoom, you know, how can I, you know, be assured that, hey, this child is actually getting what they should get, or getting the skills they need? Because I'm of the belief, and I, even when I was a teacher, I've always been of the belief that it's good to teach the child, but it's good how to interact with people. Because, you know, like when we were growing up, we were smart. A lot of our experiences came from how we interacted with our classmates and our peers. Correct. And if you can't interact with those kids now, you know, like what's going to happen? Because kids already are always like socially awkward now.
Yes, yes.
And you put into play now, they don't have anyone around them.
Right.
How do you expect them to like function?
Yes.
You know, so that's what I'm kind of like concerned about. Like, how are they going to function going forward?
Wow.
Like, you got a lot of good ideas, but how do we make sure that these kids are functioning? Because I don't know if you pay attention to like the Instagram people, like the Instagram famous people. Like, if you ever were to see those people out in like public, they're extremely awkward. Like, they have no social skills. And I said, they probably have no social skills because they spend all their time shooting videos where they play 8 different characters.
Right.
So they're not talking to anybody because they're talking to themselves. And that's concern about this whole thing. You know, like, where do we go from here to make sure that kids have that space where they can, you know, talk with a little boy or a little girl and, you know, have an argument with somebody and know how to deal with, you know, an asshole.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how you become, you know, a real person. Absolutely. When you learn how to deal with those types of people.
Adversity. Yeah. And
I'll
just piggyback on it. I think that, again, the structure of school has been very individualistic. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of hey, I am in competition with everyone else in this room in terms of GPA, grade point averages, who's done the best, who's done the worst. We start talking about this invention they call the achievement gap, as far as I'm concerned. We'll get that. That's a whole nother story. You know what I'm saying? But I think that the approach has been this individual, you know, look at me, I am this, I am that. And I think that a lot of, in moving forward, there needs to be more of a collaborative effort amongst kids to work together, to socialize, and to, mm-hmm. you know, have that what I call productive tension, where even though you disagree with me, we're still learning from each other and we're growing from right. each other, and we're learning to socialize with each other. And we may not be the same person, and we don't want to be the same person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think the frame of education historically has been that. It's been this thing of, okay, we're going to approach it from, I want you all to compete and be competitive, as opposed to, how can I find a team of individuals that we're not the right. same, but we complement each other. And because of the way that we work with each other and the way that we socialize with each other, we have goals that we can accomplish, and then we can move forward with that. And I think that in moving forward, I think that that is the kind of template that needs to be a bit more demonstrated in the classroom. What kinds mm-hmm. of collaborative tasks do we have? You know what I'm saying? That, you know, puts kids in a position where you have to work with somebody, whether you right. all are harmonious or resonant or not. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what life is. You have to work with people that you don't like, you know, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think moving forward, that's a big piece of it. How do we establish more of these collaborative tasks, collaborative classroom, where it's not so much more about competition, but it's more about production together, a learning experience together. And in that, it involves some level of creativity and innovation, especially in these places like, you know, math and science, where supposedly you're supposed to, you know, do an operation to get an answer, do something to get an answer. Right. And there's no space to be creative and for someone to own their education, to own whatever it is that they're doing. So I think that, you know, it's now a time to move into that space and see what happens out of it, you know?
I like that. Look at you trying to be like, you know, take Betsy DeVos' spot. Look.
She don't need that spot because she don't, hey, she got too much money already.
Right. She don't know what she's doing. You might as well go ahead and apply.
Hey, I'll go ahead and get it now. They don't want me in there doing that. You feel me?
You got it.
They want look, me you in the classroom. They want me in the classroom. Okay.
Look, you got it. You got it now. But yes, same, because I was talking about like the parents and everything. Like, how do you think, like, because right. of Rona just done got everybody messed up out here, you know? So, yes. like, how yes. do you think, like, jobs? Because, you know, with schools, these if the kids can't go to school, what happens with yeah. the parents? Because, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. a lot of parents, you know, a lot of people are understanding, okay, you can do some jobs at home, but some people are like, we need you here. We need you in the building. We need you there. You know, so what do you do? Like, how does work go? Like, how does life go for, like, career-wise?
Wow. You know, my thing is... Go ahead.
Cool. So, my thing is, with that, like, with careers, like, how, like, unemployment has already been, like, through the roof now. Because so many people right. have had to file for unemployment. But, like, once right. stuff starts to rebound, you know, like, where do yeah. people go? Because everybody can't have a remote job. You know, somebody got to drive the bus. Somebody got to work at the
time. Right.
Somebody has to take out the right. test. So, like, and then, like, with that, I feel like it makes more competition because everybody can't have those jobs.
Yes.
You know, so where do we go from that? And how do those people, you know, who, you know, are used to, I guess, you know, your, I guess, lower income jobs, how do they right. sustain, and where do they go from here?
See, and that's a very good question. I think for one, you know, the things that you're talking about is distribution, where we're talking about food mm-hmm. distribution at a supermarket, or we're talking about distribution of transportation where people have to get somewhere and move somewhere, or distribution of, if you're talking about FedEx or Amazon or anything like that, where you're distributing products, you know, around the world or around the country or whatever. I think those things, that infrastructure has to stay strong because, I mean, people need products, people need mm-hmm. things to continue whatever it is that they're doing. So I think there will always be some type of job related with that. You know what I'm saying? But I do think, you know, this time being at home, coronavirus or whatever, gives people an opportunity to really think about what things really are you passionate about?
Yeah, that kinds of
You know what I mean? What kinds of occupations, what types of things would you like to do that you can brainstorm about or, you know, do a mind map about or talk to friends about or whatever? What are those kinds of things that you like to do that you're passionate about?
You know me, and I'm always that hustle.
Yeah, and as long as you're passionate about it, it doesn't seem like work. You see what I'm saying? You're just like, this is what I do because I enjoy doing it. You know what I'm saying? And it just becomes a means in an entrepreneurial spirit kind of way to figure out, well, how can I monetize this? How can I have a niche for this within this market, you know, in order to, you know, to have a livelihood about, make some income, make some money. You know what I'm saying? So I think, again, there's a lot of shifting going on. And we won't really see how much shifting is going on until we really get back into all the businesses and things back up, reopen, and, you know, life is supposedly the new normal, right? However you want to talk about that. But I think there's a lot of shifting and a lot of reconfiguration going on just, you know, in society and just in people's minds and hearts. You know what I'm saying? About, like, what do I need to do, you know, to align myself more appropriately and more passionately with what I want to do, and how do I make a way for myself? I think there's been a lot of deep introspection and, like you said, reflection during this time for that to happen.
Yeah, and I think, see, I think, too, because of that, because people are creating new hustles and new things to do, but what's going to happen on those businesses that are already created, and I'm going more into the travel lane now, hospitality.
Okay.
Those things are going, it's supply and demand. Whereas, you know, now, remember, like, when we were really young, it was extremely expensive to take a flight. And then, like that was kind of, like, unknown. Like, oh, my God, you were on an airplane? Like, it was expensive. You know, but then as we got older, it was more affordable and things like that. Well, I think now what's going to happen, which still may cause some roadblocks for people, is travel is going to be harder to obtain, like domestic travel, because, like, I traveling is my love language, and so
it is.
And so, you know, I was looking at some flights recently, and what Delta has actually started doing is they incorporate social distancing on their flights. So, like, they have large flights, and what they'll do is they take out, like, the middle seat. So now, instead of you having three people in a row, there are only two of you in a row. So, and I'm like, that's great for the passenger, you know, because, wow, I have more leg room. I got more room, you know, to spread out, things like that. But, you know, from a business standpoint, that is not good, because if I got 45 seats that are open, that's 45 pieces of income that I've just lost. So what do I do with that? I raise the price of the ticket.
There you go.
You know, and
there
so like now, you know, even though I made a hustle, you know, I got my side hustle that's going on, or I got, you know, my passion that's going on. How do I still now, I got the freedom. I have the freedom now to travel because, you know, my job allows me to work from home. But how do I maintain it? You know, because I feel that that's going to have a, you know, an adverse effect on people's pockets. You know, if I want to stay in a hotel room, you know, I can't stay, you know, the hotel capacity is limited now because they may have certain floors that are, you know, another love language, casinos. You know, I keep up with that. And they've been saying that in those resorts in Las Vegas, what they'll probably do is have a whole section of the hotel that's like reserved for people who may have fevers or things like that. At that point, that's a whole block of rooms you cannot book. So what do you do with the room that you book? You raise the price. You know, and so, you know, I'm thinking about, like, that's, you know, that's how my mind is working. I'm working from, you know, the money standpoint, like, you know, like, how is this going to affect my pocket? Because, you know, I was all about traveling and staying places on a budget.
Yeah.
But, you know, if those places, those particular businesses have been hit the hardest because we can't travel. We can't stay anyplace. So, you know, I think that's definitely something that people are going to have to look out for, you know. And what I'm not going for is these virtual trips that everybody's doing. Let's do I don't care how far we come along in technology. It does not replace the fact of you getting on a plane, you going to a tropical island, you going to sit on a beach, you going to, you know, ride on a roller coaster, that doesn't replace that feeling, you know? And so that's I'm nervous about that, I think. You know, I'm really nervous. Mm. So,
you know, and I'll comment on that, you know, even during this time, and I'm a Georgia resident for over 30 years, you know what I'm saying? So I've seen the Atlanta metro area go through a lot of changes. But one thing that I have expanded out into is that I've been going around to, you know, places in Georgia that I haven't, you know, and I guess what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, we're definitely talking about if you want to go get on a plane and go somewhere, go to another state, go to another country, whatever, you can still do that. But I do think it brings more attention to the immediate surroundings of where people are at, where as opposed to, hey, I don't have the budget to go to Las Vegas, you know, or go to Atlantic City or whatever. I can go to a national park with a waterfall that I never knew existed. You know what I'm saying? And I can have,
go ahead. That brings me to one of the points I wanted to bring, the last point I wanted to bring up, which was social.
Okay.
It's like, how do you feel like that?
Yeah.
Because you're hitting on that now, which is what I want to talk about.
Oh,
like,
man.
How do you think this whole thing, like 2020 has changed, like how we interact socially, you know? So how do you foresee that going forward? And you're talking about like going, because I want to hear more about this, because I'm an introverted extrovert. I love to stay home.
I
love to travel.
I'm kind of the same way.
You know, you're talking about going to all these places. So like, how do you foresee like socialization going forward? And like, I guess, how are you dealing with it?
Well, like I said, for me, I'm like you. I'm a bit of an introverted extrovert, and I don't have a problem staying in the house. But yeah, I have a I have a time where I need to get out and, you know, and kind of socialize or whatever. But I do think the fact that people have been at the house and had to deal with themselves, had to deal with their spouses, had to deal with children. And not to say they haven't been doing that, but they've done it on a different level, you know, in a lot more of an intimate kind of way. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that kind of makes or break things a lot of the time. You know what I'm saying? There are relationships that are reeling now because of that, or some relationships that are thriving.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think what this has done is it stripped away a lot of maybe the superficialities that we have become accustomed to in terms of going and coming and being able to do this, be able to do that and get away and do this.
We lost you from that part.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay. All that I was saying was that I think that people have been able to kind of get away from maybe some of the superficialities of life, you know, the go all the time, and not being able to think and feel about what's going on from moment to moment. And I think that because we have slowed down, it's given people a different perspective of, well, what is life? What has my life become? What do I want it to be? Et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? So I think from that, I think that people are really positioning themselves to question, well, what do I value? Do I value peace? Do I value this, this, and this? And I think from that, it's a lot of people to say, well, okay, well, let me be a little bit less judgmental about people when I meet them. You know, let me be a little bit more, you know, when I talk to someone, I have a conversation with someone, let me get to more of the deeper parts of it other than the superficiality stuff. Maybe in terms of if I see you with money, if I see you with a nice car, if I see you looking good, you know, or whatever, let me get beyond those things to really get at the core of who it is that you are. You can look at, you know, some social media stuff or stuff on Google News where, you know, people are saying, okay, I'm dating has been better than ever now. You know,
how has that been for you?
I've been able to connect with people. well, for me, of course, you want to put me on the spot. How has that been for you? But it's, just to be honest, it's really been great thus far. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been able to go, I'm talking about these parks and things like that. I've been able to have ventures out in parks and just have that downtime where you're really getting to know someone without all of the superficiality stuff, you know, that you'd have to sift through or have to wait for or whatever. And either, you know, you connect with someone or, you know, that's not the right person. And you know that a lot quicker than maybe in other times where you're still kind of going out, you're kind of hanging out and trying to decide whatever, whatever. And I'm not saying that everyone has the same motives when they go out and meet people or whatever, but I'm just saying that I think us slowing down has allowed us to be a little bit more deliberate and have our space clear in order of seeing things the way that's that they true. Are.
And I mean, I like how you phrased it, how you're just kind of having, a good time and, exploring and things, mm-hmm. which is good. Mm-hmm. I've been somewhat of the opposite. Whereas, I'm fine with staying home, but I will say that this whole experience has made me want to get out more. Because it's like, man, yes. My whole purpose of leaving my hometown is because there was nothing to do. And so, people gotcha. Always say, well, how do you like Atlanta? I'm like, I'll just stay home. But I have the option. I had the option mm-hmm. of, if I want to go out, I can go out. If I want to go this place, I can go that mm-hmm. place. And when that option was taken from me, it was like, man, I wanted it even more. And so now I didn't have the bravery that you had. just go out here and, just live it up out in these streets. But, it's been a learning experience for me. I will say that it's been a learning experience because I had to learn a lot about myself. Like, do I really want to go out? Because I'm probably the first person that was like, I don't believe the whole hype of the whole, let me stay away and I'm going to die, but I was, taking heed to what was being said and, what was happening, just having conversations. But it's like, should I continue to live my life in fear and stay within my four walls and let me go take a walk in the neighborhood, but I'm still not talking to anybody. let me go sit on my back porch and do the Zoom call with my friends. But it's nothing like when you're actually face to face or, beside somebody, because, energy is transferable. And have you ever been in a situation where everybody's getting along and happy, and then you instantly get happy, or just the opposite, man. Where a bunch of fights start breaking out, and then all of a sudden you get really angry?
Yes.
That's because energy is transferable, and it's like, I feel that we need those types of things in our lives in order to maintain, because if you don't have human interaction, you're probably gonna be super depressed.
All
therapist bills are probably going to be through the roof now, because I'm pretty sure a bunch of people are about to have hitting their therapist up. I need to speak to somebody, or I need you to prescribe something for what I'm going through.
Sure.
So I think that's definitely something.
Right.
As far as socially, what we're going to have to deal with is a lot of mental things that are going on. So,
and I think this time is almost like it's asked us to decide between mental health or physical health.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Either you stay inside and you preserve your physical health, I'm not going to catch anything, or you're inside this house and psychologically you're going crazy. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be with, too much interaction, with your partner or with your kids or whatever, there's a balance that has to be struck, and there was a balance that you had that changed with all of this.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Saying? They're definitely going to have to do some type of case study once this all kind of settles down.
Absolutely.
The mental states of lots of different people, because we talked about this before, and I said, is anybody even checking on the abused wife or the abused husband? They literally have to stay there now, and so how does that person go forward now in life? Because, or the child that's being molested or being abused, how does that go?
It's so funny you say that, because, I looked at an article the other day. They were saying that the level or the incidents that have been reported of child abuse has gone down 50%
because they won't
since
call.
The pandemic. You know what I mean? Right. That, and the fact that, kids they can't tell about school. As a teacher, So as a teacher, seeing that, you can report that and say, okay, something's not right at the crib.
That child has nobody
anymore. So who knows?
If that child is staying home every day, that teacher, honestly, you can attest to this, as much as I loathed teaching, but there was something about, those one or two children that kind of looked forward to seeing you, because you were, whether you wanted to be or not, you were that safe place for them. And virtually you can be a safe place, but like how much can you really do, you know, for that child? So
yeah, right.
You know, I think that's something that's definitely going to have to be observed going forward. Mm-hmm. And once this is all done, I'm kind of ready for all of this stuff to kind of really subside. One thing I saw that had spoken about, you know, they've been kind of dragging Atlanta and Georgia in general, you know, based off
of course,
you know, opening
yes.
the state back up, everything, which, you know, I mean, everybody right. has their own opinions about it. But I saw something where it said the number of cases and deaths has gone down in Georgia. And then the number of cases and places right. that haven't opened up has gone up. And I'm like, I said,
right.
Probably people aren't realizing that. This is not funny, but they probably have realized that I'm not going to go out. If I do go out and if something is wrong with me, I'm not going to say anything, because at this point, there's nothing that they can do for
yeah.
me. All I can do is tough it out.
Absolutely.
Which is what they've been telling us from the start with. So either I stay in the house and be okay, or I go out and have, you know, okay time and tough it out at the end. So I think people are still sitting here thinking, like, how do you, like, with that mindset?
Here's the problem that I have with that. Okay, so you start talking about the stats and saying, okay, well, you know, Georgia was saying that the incidents were going down, or the number of coronavirus cases were going down, but that's not exactly true according to the data, because someone, you know, didn't do this or didn't do that or didn't, you know,
right.
Report the data right. like it's supposed to be. But there's never any conversation when we're talking about that in terms of the level of mm-hmm. rising incidents in Georgia.
Mm-hmm, right.
You notice that? You know what I'm saying? When we say, okay, the incidents are rising, there's no one saying, oh, okay, well, are they rising mm-hmm. really that high? There's nobody reporting on that side of it. And that's a problem that I have. It makes me think that, okay, there's a skewing to that side of saying, okay, we want you to have fear still. And when y'all are getting out, we want y'all to have fear about
yeah.
what y'all
there's
is doing.
There's always a skewing of data. You know that. You know, like, anytime when you're trying to, like, make
yes.
your point, you're going to make the data kind of
yes.
slant in your favor. So, you know, those are
and
things. And I'm
yes.
not saying that's 100% the case going, but I mean, I do think that, like,
yeah,
you know,
right,
if
right,
you
right.
want to bring a, you know, you want to drive a certain point home, I'm going to present all the data that shows that point, you know?
Correct. And that's my whole thing about it. Give people an opportunity to decide based upon the full spectrum of data, what it is that they want to do. Don't skew it to one side or another because you're mm-hmm. trying to get a particular effect. You know what I'm saying? And saying all that, I'll say this though. We could talk about all the data in the world, but if you've kind of been out, you can feel people ready
that
to
is
get
true.
Back to socializing.
I was going to make a joke. I was
going to
make
Atlanta.
A quick joke.
Okay.
But seeing that I kind of hung out with you, I can't make that joke now.
You can't. Okay. Because you've been out with me now. So I don't want to hear.
Say,
you know
I'm
what I'm
giving
saying?
You 14 days.
I'm going to say.
I want to let everybody. I want to let everybody know. I did give 14 days because he started going out probably like, I think the pandemic, they told us to go lockdown on April 3rd. He went on lockdown. Like, he got off lockdown on April 8th.
Oh, God.
And so,
oh,
you know,
my
but
God.
I will say, I'll give, you know, if nothing happened to him, which, you know, I mean, that's clearly, I'm not telling everybody to, like, go by that. But I did say, look, if you're okay in 14 days, then fine, I'll join you. And so I was, my arm was twisted. And I went out.
Well,
but I will say this, and I sat Friday, like, you know, I told you I was dealing with headaches and stuff because I had to get glasses. So I had my glasses. Had a little headache
right.
when I left Friday. Ate my food, went to bed. I woke up and I felt like amazing. Like, I mean, I was like, man, I ain't felt this good in like a couple of weeks, you know? And I'm like, I wonder,
hey,
you know, and
hey.
I don't want to blame it on, you know, going out, but I will say, like,
you should.
I will say though, I did feel way better going out, like after going out, than I have like just sitting around the house, you know? So
let me tell you.
Yeah,
man, let me tell you something. it's a point in time where you get beyond all the statistics and all the things that people
and
are
just
saying.
Say F it.
And then I'm not gonna go that far and say that, but there's an intuitive feeling that you have about things. There's a gut feeling that your body, you know, and your energy gives off. Mm-hmm. You're saying, okay, there's some level of socialization that I need out right here. You know what I'm saying? And contrary to popular belief, when you go out there and get it, you feel
I
okay.
I did, and I felt okay. I will say I did feel
you
okay.
You know what I mean?
I will. So thank you for that.
I try out here. You know what I'm saying?
I'm on an isolation period, though. I'm going to isolate myself for about another 14 days just to check, just to make sure that everything's on the up and up. So I don't think I'm going out for another 2 weeks. But other than that,
okay.
I mean.
We'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see. We'll see about that. Okay.
Well, you know, anyway. Okay. But, you know, I think that's a good stopping point for today. I think that's, talking about our new normal, because I think we definitely need to revisit this and see like how our new normal has kind of adjusted or gone back to our old normal, which I don't ever think we're going back to like 2019.
Not at all.
2019.
Not at all.
Like after that,
it's done.
It's a wrap. Like new day. It's a new dawn right now. So yeah. Right. All right. So good job. I hope that you enjoyed the show today. I hope you got something out of
yes.
it. How did you feel about this right. today, Marcus?
I feel all good. Right. I feel yeah. good. You know, I mean, we chat like this anyway. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, why not
get
on
it?
Everybody
else hear it.
Why not?
Let everybody else hear it.
Yeah.
And hear, you know, if they say, they might think, you know, we're totally off and just off our damn heads. But, you know, that's okay.
Right.
I'm okay right. with that.
I am too.
That, you'll leave us your feedback and yes. some things that you'd like for us to talk about and discuss. And you can hit us on an email at thebrokecomeup@gmail.com. Follow us on IG at thebrokecomeup. And, you know, we'll just keep updating, keep talking about, you know, other stuff, things in life, things going on in the world, you know, lots of different things. I think
absolutely,
this is a good platform to kind of get all those things out and have a good voice and have some good dialogue and, you know, hear what the people are trying to say too. So I think that'll be good.
Absolutely.
So, all right.
Absolutely.
Again, this is Marquise and...
Marcus all day
saying follow your dreams, dance like no one is watching, and hustle till you can't hustle no more. We out.
Peace.